Well, we're back here at Napa Valley College Gymnasium where it is halftime. And it's interesting, the two teams that will be meeting each other in the second game tonight are out on the court taking some calisthenics, warming up at one end. And Napa at the opposite end is warming up, shooting some hoops. There are six players on the Napa roster and some 13 or 14 on the Solano roster. So
I count 13 in uniform. I
reckon. So that is really a differential. And I looked on their roster and I didn't see anybody from Napa. They frequently have somebody from Napa on their squad. But so they'll have at least 13 players out there compared to six for Napa.
Yeah, actually, I think I count 14 now.
Yeah, it's hard to count them when they're
moving yeah.
like that.
They need to stay.
Did you ever try to count goldfish in a bowl sometime when you've got, you know, at least a dozen or so goldfish? That makes it tough, too. Okay, well, let's take a look with Dino Alessio on the first half shooting.
Well, Ira, Jacob, you know, sometimes the stats don't tell the story, but in this game, the stats definitely do tell the story of the first half. For a tremendous defensive effort by Napa, for Solano, they took 23 shots and made just four field goals in the first half. They were 1 out of 9 from three-point range, and they were 8 out of 8 from the free throw line. Excellent free throw shooting for their 17 points. For the Napa Valley College Storm, they took 41 shots, almost twice as many as Solano. They made 14 of them. They were 2 of 11 from beyond the three-point arc, and they were 3 out of 5 from the free throw line, and that's how they got their 33 points. Turnovers, 10 for Solano, not really a bad total, but Napa, sensational, only 6 turnovers in that first half. And the rebounding, this is one of the largest rebounding edges I can recall in a game for which I kept stats. At halftime, Napa has 26 rebounds as a team to just 11 for Solano. So the edge of 15 in rebounding and the edge of 4 in turnovers, that's a plus 19, and that explains why Napa has got off 18 more shots than Solano has, because every turnover, every edge in turnover and every edge in rebounding is one extra shot that the team gets. So an excellent half for Napa, and they just need to keep their foot on the gas in the second half.
Well, very interesting statistics, Dino. Thank you for that report here at halftime. And we're going to let Jake Grant kind of take over here for a moment and tell us a little bit about his interest and how he got to follow the Gaels in St. Mary's, since they have won a school record 18 games in a row and ranked number 11 in the nation in the Associated Press, their highest ranking in school history.
So it all started out with my family, actually. I have a cousin who went there for her undergraduate degree in sports medicine. So she worked closely with the men's basketball team and their Division I NCAA programs there at the college. And then, you know, my cousin, who's my same age, is a freshman at the college, and he's in the same program. So it's just a continued effort with the men's college basketball team out there. And I've enjoyed observing them from the stands for the last 5 years, and it'll be fun. This weekend, I'll be heading down to Moraga to go watch them play the Gonzaga Bulldogs. It'll be a close game because they're right below the Gaels in the standings, so it should be fun.
Well, absolutely, it should be a tremendous game. What was the 3-point game when they played the Zags in their home area?
Yeah, and it almost brought down the house when they thought they had that one locked up at halftime, and St. Mary's came and, you know, showed them up a little bit. A lot of people don't expect that from a school whose gymnasium only holds 3,500 people compared to someone like Syracuse who holds 35,000. So the size of program is definitely one that people scoff at when they look at them in the rankings, especially in the bracket come March.
I was watching a game between Portland and the Loyola Marymount, And not very many people in attendance there. You like the Gales, they sell out about every game. But there just were not many fans there in this game down in the L.A. area.
I think a lot of it has to do with the strength of the conference, because the WCC isn't exactly one that, you know, puts a lot of big names out there. Obviously, St. Mary's and Gonzaga are two of the better teams in the conference, and they show up in the national levels. But teams like Portland and Loyola Marymount and Pepperdine, I mean, their basketball programs aren't necessarily anything to speak of. And San Diego is the closest to a team that you have to watch when they play, because they're kind of a dark horse. I mean, they show up when they want to, and they've been showing up when this year during their games. And, you know, I expect to see some fun basketball when those two teams meet.
They've got a guy named Pinera or something like that, Pinera, on the team for San Diego, and he's one of the outstanding players, pretty good players in the league this year, as far as when you look at the individuals. The guy's named Childs, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's a pretty good player. And, Gonzaga always has some good players. And BYU frequently has some, but BYU's had a few losses in the league.
You know, it's interesting to watch them play, because, you know, they roll up and they have a lot. Their program is very well funded. I mean, you watch St. Mary's roll up and their boys are wearing sweats and t-shirts, and BYU shows up and they're wearing suits and coats and all this fancy stuff, and then they've got padded seats and on the sidelines. So it's it's a clash, and they kind of have that Catholic-Mormon rivalry, which gets interesting when religion makes its way out onto the basketball court.
The top college prospect for football in the country was a quarterback. He's about 6'7", weighs well over 200 pounds, and he selected Stanford to attend. He had great offers from Alabama and some of the top schools, selected Stanford, but he's a Mormon, so he will not be going there for a couple years because of his mission. He's going to take his mission work first before going to Stanford to play football. But they've got a great guy that's coming their way.
You know, it's interesting when you have a guy like that who, you know, you get a lot of offers. I mean, Stanford's a great program, especially coming out of the Pac-12. But, I mean, Alabama, I mean, you're basically guaranteed a championship. So it's almost something that you have to think about, whether you pride yourself on your education or if you go there to, Cardale Jones said it best, learn football. So, you know, it all depends on what your priorities are.
Well, we're going to see if we can get Carson Caratini over here. He's the assistant coach for Napa Valley College, but he's looking for something out there on the court, like a contact lens or something, except he's the only one out there looking all over the court. So I got to get Carson, see if we can get him. He found something here. Carson, if you have a moment over here, we frequently have a chance to hear from Steve Ball, but we don't often have an opportunity to hear from Carson Caratini. So tell us a bit about your working with Steve and what your main assignments are during practice and during a game.
Well, thank you for having me on here, Ira. I appreciate it. Mainly, you know, I'd say that I'm there to have that second set of eyes. You know, having some head coaching experience previously, I think I watched the game as a head coach, and, you know, we bounce ideas off each other. You know, Steve obviously makes the final decisions and the final calls, but, you know, we have a really good relationship going back and forth in terms of, you know, having a feel for the game and what we're seeing on the floor. You know, as far as practice goes, you know, I input when we break down. I work with the guards a lot of the times. I implement all our strength and conditioning stuff. I've been doing that for 5 years now, and run our off-season program, and I go out and do all the recruiting as well. Went to some games earlier this week, been all over the place this year, and it's always a lot of fun.
You know, I can't believe this is the same team that gave up 100 points the other night to Los Medanos, that they only gave up 17 in the first half here. What defense?
Yeah, you know, I think that was a wake-up call for us, that we have to come out every night for 40 minutes and put our best effort. Be ready with the scouting report, understanding what the other team is doing, but really just giving that great effort for 40 minutes and having that mental focus constantly so that we can be successful on every possession.
Carson Caratini, what can you tell us about your background, where you have coached previously?
Most recently I was at Kenyatta College in Redwood City. I've coached at Napa High, Novato High, Woodside High School. I started in doing middle school AAU and middle school basketball. I've been all over the place in the last 15 years. I think I found a great place here in Napa, and I'm enjoying myself every day.
And where did you play?
I did not play growing up. I played baseball growing up, went to high school in North Carolina, moved out here to go to San Jose State, and my roommate was a player there on the team at San Jose State. Shout out to Garvin Davis. And, I've been just in love with the game since I was 6 years old.
You mentioned about seeing some of the high school players here. Have you talked to some that are pretty interested in attending Napa Valley College?
Yeah, you know, we've got a handful of local kids who we really like and are interested in coming. Unfortunately, we didn't hit on a couple targets that we would have loved to have, but, you know, there's still a lot of great local talent, and we try to reach out and start relationships early, you know, starting when they get here as freshmen. And, you know, we want to see their progress as they get older, and we love to have local talent because, you know, the families and the friends and the classmates can come out and support, and it makes it a fun environment.
What type of defense are they using on Sasha? Is it just that he got in foul trouble, or what? He has just been held down pretty much, but has had to spend a lot of time on the bench.
Yeah, you know, he gets a ton of attention every night. You know, teams really game plan to stop him. I think tonight you're seeing them really collapse defensively every time he touches the ball. You know, he got a couple fouls there early in the first half, so we try to keep him safe and, be able to use him late in crunch time minutes. You're going to see him here start the second half. We're going to establish him like we do every night, and, you know, they really the ones that have to answer. We try to set the tone with him, and he does a great job on most nights.
Carson, one last question, and that is in regards to what you were looking for on the gym court.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I dropped an M&M there, and I wanted to make sure nobody slipped on it, and I found it, so we're good to go.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Ira.
All right. That was the assistant basketball coach at Napa Valley College, and we're just about set for the second half as Carson Caratini has been working with the program and Steve Ball very successfully, and are just about ready for second half basketball. The leading scorers here at halftime, get our sheets figured out here on the Napa side. It is Mancho Adolfo with 13 points, and for Solano, it is Andrew Mime with 6 points, and he doesn't have a field goal.
All from the free throw line. The free throw shooting has been superb for Solano, but only 4 field goals in that first half.
Just a reminder again that this is Coaches versus Cancer Night with proceeds going to the American Cancer Society. This is in collaboration with the National Association of Basketball Coaches and has united coaches and fans nationwide. And of course, this impact that we hope is felt in communities around the nation. And we're ready now with Napa on the defense, alternate possession arrow, favoring Solano as they start the second half with the ball. Goes low post down to the left side. The shot is blocked as Sterling Thomas out of Vacaville went for the shot. It was blocked, and they're going to call a foul now. And that's going to be, I think, on Salzman. Tom Salzman picking up his first personal foul. They said it was in the act of shooting. So Thomas will be going up there. In the first half, they were 8-for-8 at the foul line. Thomas out of Vacaville played for the Bulldogs there. Free throw is good. Here we go. So they're 9-for-9 in the free throw shooting. Next free throw is good. Well, you can't do much better than that, Dino.
And they're all shooting with terrific form. These shots look great going in.
33-19 early here in the second half as Napa brings the ball down. That's a 2-3 zone defense set up against them. The ball is deflected away from Napa, hit out of bounds by the Falcons. It'll be Napa's ball to the left of the basket for which they are shooting. Napa leading it 33-19, looking to get the ball into French. They can't do so, so it comes way back out to Mills. To Salzman, over the right side now to Bracey, fires a three, no good. Rebound taken out by Thomas for the Falcons. Starting a fast break, now slowing it down. Napa getting back nicely on defense. That's been their strong suit tonight, has been the defense. Shooting a three and hitting from the right corner was Thomas. So Thomas has started out here getting 5 points early on. There's a shot up. I missed. Who got that one?
I didn't catch that one.
Dino, who got that last pass?
I'll find out for you.
Okay, sorry about that. I was just checking to see what Thomas had done, as he's in double figures now. 5 points in the first half and five so far here in the second half. There's a shot up. No good. And the rebound is to Napa. Bracey is credited with that last basket for Napa, his first basket of the game. Hampton brings it over to Bracey. Bracey nearly lost possession, but gets a bounce pass back over. Turnaround jumper, good from the low post by Sasha French. They're getting his second field goal of the game. He's been pretty much double teamed, which has left some players open for Napa. Napa appears to be in that man-to-man defense as they stay with their players. That is the case. Faking and almost pulling the pivot foot was Thomas. He goes up for the shot. It's no good. Rebound taken out by Mills. A lead pass comes down in the forecourt to Hampton. Hampton passes to Sasha French, who goes in and slam dunks it with two hands. That's his second slam dunk with two hands in the ball game tonight. And it's a 33-22 lead for Napa. Solano with Andrew Mime working it from right over to the left side. Shifting around. They are not positioning anybody on a low post. They don't have the size that they want to work it inside. Their game is to get an open shot from the perimeter. There's a three-point attempt up. No good. Rebound is taken by Mills for Napa. Looks down court. Nice defense there by the Falcons getting back. Mills drives into the lane, doesn't shoot. Out to Salzman, he'll shoot. Three is good. Salzman gets his first field goal. And Napa goes up by 20. Mime, forecourt, working against Bracey. And Mime dribbled the ball on the sideline. Turnover against the Falcons. Coming to the sideline is Jaden Hampton. Back into the ball game is Adolpo. Kind of interesting, he did not start but had 13 first half points. Did not start the second half, but comes in there early and will probably see quite a bit of playing time depending on how high Napa can put the score. But there's a steal by Thomas, and Mills almost stole it back, but pass. Well, Mills keeps the ball. Now he passes. Comes over to double chin. Puts a shot up, no good. Rebounded by Napa. Bracey. Forecourt. Between circles now. Guarded by Williams. Bracey still maneuvering on the dribble. Stopped the dribble. Over to Mills. Low post to Sasha. Turns around. Jump shot from about 12. Does not go. Williams with the rebound for Solano. He looks at a three, doesn't take it. Passes in the right-hand corner. There's a three, rimming no good by Thomas. Rebounded by Napa. Adolfo, forecourt to Mills, well out right side to Sasha French, who's out on a very high post now. Now he passes to Mills and goes to low post. He was open. They couldn't get the ball to him. Now he's going to be double-teamed. Now Sasha comes over to the right side to get a pass. Cross court to Mills. He's open for a three. Missed it. Rebound taken by the Falcons. Williams in the forecourt. Over to Mime. He'll fire a three. Rims no good. Rebound. Amancho Adolfo. 6 foot sophomore. One of seven sophomores on this Napa roster. underneath the ball, deflected away from Sasha French. Sasha had one field goal in the first half. He's got two more here in the second half. Salzman is coming out of the lineup, and Joe Fons out of Calistoga re-enters the lineup. We played 5 minutes here in the second half. Bracey inbounds to Fons, and he had to tip it over, and they nearly lost possession and saved it from going out of bounds to Mills. Mills guarded tightly there by Double-Chan. And coming out to meet a pass on a high post is French. Now he passes back out, and they did not get the shot away in the 30-second clock went off. So that will be a turnover, a shot clock violation.
Go towards him, please.
14 and a half minutes to go. We're in the second half. Napa with a 20-point lead, and Solano with Tucker bringing the ball forward court. It goes to the left of the key, drives in, and pivots, does not get the shot away. There's a three-point attempt up, no good, and it's rebounded by Sasha French for Napa. Bringing it slowly into the forward court. The Fons comes out to the top of the key, gets the pass there over to Adolfo. Now it goes to Bracey, fires the three, no good. And French runs down the rebound and brings it back out. They got a new 30-second shot clock from that. Bracey on the angle left side, guarded very tightly by Mime, tries to drive around him, can't do so. And there's a travel called against Napa. Dino, not many turnovers there for Napa in that first half.
Yeah, they had only seven in the first half. They're at, actually six in the first half. They're at nine now. Still very manageable total.
With the basketball is Rashad Tucker, a sophomore out of Benicia High School, as he is bringing the ball into the forecourt. Starts to the left of the key. Bracey is pressuring him quite a bit. Passes back out the top, the key to Mime. Mime defense by Adolfo. Tries to drive around him, gets a pick, goes into the lane, spins, can't get a shot out. A three-point attempt up, no good by Thomas. But after Thomas hit that three, he's tried a few more and has not been successful. Looks like Bracey's going to be called for a foul. That is his, the second team foul here. As Bracey gets his first.
Yes!
And the 5 seconds on the inbounds turnover. Mime, who was trying to inbound the ball, it shows you the good defense that Napa's come up with, forcing that 5 second and also some shot clock violations. Seems like the score has stayed at 42-22 for quite some time. So, Dino, they must have had a few misses for both sides.
Well, Napa's missed three in a row, and Solano's missed eight in a row.
Wow. That's Napa with the basketball now. Adolfo, forecourt. Over to Hampton now as they're starting to work the weave. Now Adolfo drives into the lane, kicks it over to Fons. He fires the three. It's an air ball, and Adolfo gets the rebound. Brings it back to Fons. Fons to the left of the key. Over, driving in and laying it up off of the backboard is Jaden Hampton. And as active as he has been and as good as he has played, that was his first basket. There is a foul underneath the basket. Solano got down quickly. And got set up, and Fons picked up the personal foul. That's the third team foul. They say it's a shooting foul. Solano has not missed a free throw tonight. They are 10 for 10. So we'll see what happens now as Rashad Tucker's at line. What has he done? Check with Jake here. He makes the first one. So that's 11 for 11 for the team.
He shot 69% on the season so far.
Well, he might be the first one to miss, although they've made 11 in a row. He's back at the line, eyeing the basket. Perfect free throw. They're 12 for 12 at the foul line.
And I think only on one of them have they even hit iron with the ball.
Mostly just net. Napa Valley College Deer starts to drive in, lost the ball, out of bounds, and the officials look, and they're giving the ball to Napa. 44-24. Napa continuing to hold on to not only a double-digit lead, but a 20-point lead. And it'll be Adolfo to inbound the ball. He looked to French. They get it into French. He passes it over, and there is a whistle. They made the basket, but it is not going to count. It was a three-point basket, but it was negated. I don't know if he stepped on the sideline or what, but it an offensive foul. Well, they didn't register it on the scoreboard, so I'm not sure what happened. The rebound is deflected away and out of bounds. Yeah, that I don't think would have been a foul. We would have seen the official give the indication to the scorer's bench on that.
I sure didn't.
No, and then we're still at three total. Two driving in. A block by the big center, Sasha French, and Napa brings the ball quickly forecourt with 12 minutes to go in the second half to Adolfo. Lobs it to French. French on the high post. Back to Adolfo. Driving in the lane, and we have, let's see if it's a block or a charge. It's going to be a charge. That's his first personal foul. The team's fourth. So far, Solano, not only have they not missed a free throw, they haven't been charged with a foul yet here in the second half. And we have played over 8 minutes of the second half. Solano inbounds the basketball now. Rashad Tucker on the high dribble as he crosses the timeline. Passes it to Williams in the right-hand corner. Gets a return pass and backs it up. Gets back very near the timeline. Starts to move. Is going to be double-teamed. And he releases the pass over to Mimi. Over in the right side to Williams. Fires a three and hits. Good play there by Leon Williams getting the three-point basket. That's Napa with the ball now. 11:15 to go here in the second half against the zone. Into French. There's another two-handed slam dunk. And Sasha's had three of those in the game out of his four field goals. Mimi off the top of the key to double jam. Puts a shot up, no good. Rebound, Adolfo coming down. It is 4-on-3. Goes up with a floater. Missed the shot. Goes for the rebound. And it's out of bounds. It'll be Falcons ball. Well, Jake, I like the way that you had earlier described the jacket that Steve Ball is wearing.
Yeah, it's the tribute to Sager Strong, the old basketball announcer. And, you know, he made quite an effect on cancer research late in his career with all his foundations and his work. So it's an important tribute.
And that's part of Coaches versus Cancer Night tonight, being observed by the head coach for Napa Valley College. Driving into the lane, getting a pass underneath, the shot up, no good by Rajon Washington, but the freshman was fouled on the play. Foul is going to go on French, and that's three on him. It also is the fifth team foul against Napa. Solano yet to commit a foul here, or yet to be charged with a foul. Free throw is good. That's 13 out of 13 they have made from the free throw line.
Looks like it's something they work on as a team because everyone on their team is hitting them.
But look what they do. They send the other four players back, and he makes two. So they are 14 out of 14 from the foul line. That is excellent shooting, I guess. You can't better that. 10.5 minutes to go here in the second half. Pull-up jumper from 15 is good. That was a nice move by Calvin Johnson getting his third basket of the contest. And it's 48-29, a 19-point lead. With the ball now is Washington. Out to the top now to double jam. Passes over in the left-hand corner for a three, and it's good from the corner. Washington, who made those last free throws, makes the three-point field goal, and it's 48-32. The ball is tipped out of bounds by Rashad Tucker to stay with Napa. Returning to the lineup is Brandon Durf, one of three players on the roster from Wilsey Wood High School in Vacaville. They've got Ross, who is from Lompoc. The few others from around the area. Napa with the ball, driving in. Oh, a good feed under the basket. The shot is up. And I was blocked out. The coach was standing right in front.
I was blocked out, too.
So, Dino, did you see that one? We were both blocked out from the coach. Napa with the steal on the inbounds at Tadalpo going up, and he tried to lob one over there. And there's the shot from the left corner, no good. And a jump ball results. So we'll have to see who got that last shot. We're right on floor level, and the coach is right beside us and frequently stands right in front of us.
Yeah, I feel like I'm staring at a curtain with his jacket on. It's all flowers and fruit. It's quite the sight. That's not basketball.
James Ned is in the lineup replacing Joe Fonz.
Ira, it was number one who scored that basket.
That was Johnson there. He's got 8 points now. 50-32. Napa has the ball and the lead. They have yet to be to the free throw line in the second half. And the Falcons have made 14 in a row in the ball game. Turnaround jump shot rims and goes in as Deer makes his first basket of the contest. And it's back to a 20-point lead with 9 minutes to go here in the second half. Play goes in the left-hand corner as they're getting around, following Napa now as they get set up in their man-to-man. And the ball was banked in on a nice shot there by Washington. Washington, that was a two-pointer, but very close to three-point range. Gives him 7 points all in the second half. He did not score in the first half. Napa with the ball. An open three is up, rims no good by Adolfo. Rebound, out of bounds.
Actually, Ira, I thought that was a three-point basket.
Did they give him?
And according to the scoreboard, it was a three.
Okay.
They had 17 at halftime. They now have 35. I have them with 18.
Okay. That was two threes in a row then for Rajan Washington. Out of Vallejo, a Red Hawk there. They've got one guy that was on their roster last year was Maurice Kimball, and he listed San Francisco as his where he played basketball in high school. And this year he was on the roster and he listed Oakley, where he was from. But he's not here tonight, so I couldn't ask him.
I've been to San Francisco, and I've been to Oakley, and it would be hard to confuse one for the other.
Yeah, well, anyway, looking over at the Napa Valley College Storm lineup, they've got James Ned, who is out of Heritage High School in Brentwood. That's the northern Brentwood. There's a Brentwood down in Southern California, too.
That's true. The Brentwood in Southern California is just a district, though, in Los Angeles. The Brentwood up here is a town on its own, the one out by Antioch.
Yeah. And they have, let's see, the ball is going to be in the backcourt for Solano. They have it inbound against a little pressure put on by Adolfo, a one-man press in the backcourt. Williams gets into the forecourt. Leon Williams, a freshman out of Vanden High School over in the Fairfield area. The top key, he's going to fire a three. It rims, no good. Tipped around, no good. Rebound off to Calvin Johnson.
Motion
for Napa.
Motion
to Akeem Deer, top of the key. Works it around now. They get on the right of the key and then underneath, up and in by James Ned. Boy, they worked nice passing to get that ball to Ned, who made the easy shot. Well, with 7.5 minutes to go, Napa Valley College men's team is a 19-point leader. There's a three, and that one was good by Isaiah Double Jan.
And Ira, all the baskets made in this half by Solano have been three-pointers, all five.
Wow, that's interesting. And they have yet to miss a free throw, 14 straight at the foul line.
So they're doing a lot of things right,
yeah.
But they're down by 16 points.
And they've only committed one foul here in the second half as well. Inbounds pass to Adolfo. He's, as we mentioned, one of seven sophomores. They have four freshmen on the roster now. Adolfo starts to drive in, kicks it over to the left side, and there's going to be a travel called against Calvin Johnson. Well, three games after tonight remain. We'll be back here next Wednesday night to broadcast the Contra Costa game. And three more league games for Napa. They're in second place with a two-game lead. Driving down, going up for an easy layup. The left hand is Thomas, and that's a two-point basket. So that's their first two-point basket here in the second half then.
Yeah, that's the first two-pointer they've had since midway through the first half.
There's a three-pointer the other way. No good by Napa, and out of bounds it will go to Solano. Napa came in tonight with an 8-4 record and second place in the league. And I gave my league standing to you, Jake, if you could just take a look at the league standings that I gave to you. This is the outdated one. There we go. Coming into tonight, it was Yuba College that had an 11-1 record for first place in the league. Napa Valley at 9-3 was second. Oh, yeah. Now, this is the update. Yeah. And 9-3 and 13-10. And is that the same that one has? Oh, I'm sorry. Los Medanos is in third place at 8-5. Yeah, I misunderstood earlier. Mendocino, 7-5. Contra Costa, 7-6. Merritt College, 5-7. Alameda, College of Alameda, 4-9. Solano College, 3-9. And College of Marin at 2-11 in league play. They've had a lot of close contests. Lost a lot of them right down at the wire by just a few points. Yeah, I'm starting to look at these before, and this is the updated information that we had. So correct my scoring here as far as the record for Napa. Meantime, Napa is on the defense. There is a pull-up jump shot from three-point range. No good. Battle for the rebound, and Napa comes away with it, leading by 14 points. Getting the ball into the front court. They work it down the lane over to Salzman, who just returned three-pointer. Rims no good. Rebound taken out by Leon Williams. Fast break the other way for the Falcons. Into the lane, going up for the shot and scoring. No one checked off the ball. And Double Jan gets the field goal. And we got a game now. Up to a 12-point advantage. Still a lot of time to go. 5.5 minutes to go, 54-42. Salzman kicks a pass out now to Mills. Mills drives in, a little floater up, no good. Rebound up and good. Calvin Johnson got a much-needed basket there.
Yeah, that was a 20-10 run for Solano until that last basket for Napa.
Yeah. Well, the ball is deflected out of, and it'll go to Napa. French is back in, Fonce is back in, Adolfo back in. Some wholesale changes made in the Napa lineup. So we stand corrected on some of those totals we had given to you earlier. Solano is 8-15 overall, 3-9 in the league. Napa 13-10 overall, 9-4 in the league. There's a travel. That was a good call by the official. I don't know, Steve didn't appreciate it, but that was the correct call. He did pull that pivot foot, and that turns the ball over to Solano with 5 minutes to go, very much in the ball game. Ball's going to have to watch it. He's going to get a tee on him here as he keeps talking to one official. There's a three-point attempt, no good. and a shoving foul underneath. And that's going to go against Solano. It's only their second team foul in the second half. That is on Thomas. So no one in real foul trouble for either team. There's Salzman going for the shot. It's partially blocked and goes out of bounds. So it'll stay with Napa. They will inbound the ball to the left of the basket for which they are shooting. Looking underneath, they get it into Fons, out to Salzman. They've got on the low post French going to the left side. Gets the pass, gets double teamed, still puts a shot up, no good. Goes for the rebound, it clicked out and the foul is called. The foul is going to go against Napa. And that is Mills called for the foul. Did we get a technical?
We got a warning.
Okay, well, that's what I said. He had to, have to watch or he was going to get a T. He is still talking. I think the officials have been doing a pretty good job here.
Yeah, that's a good restraint by the official to issue a warning then.
Yeah, that's good. For Napa, Calvin Johnson, who's in there and then came out, is right back in as he's going to relieve Sasha French.
Now they've called the technical, Ira.
Well, as you say, he was coming close to it early on. He's got to watch here, get another one. The free throw is missed, and that's the first one they'd missed. They had made 14 in a row, and the one they missed was off of the technical. So,
and these are critical ones to make because it's a chance to
without the clock running, he makes the next free throw. And so he goes. 56-43 is the score. Free throw is good, as these are the technical free throws now, Mime. And he has made seven in a row and had 7 points.
Yes. No, this is not high school. It's point of interruption.
We have.
It's a foul. It should be a live ball free throw.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
This is not high school.
I understand that.
Well, I don't know if you can hear that in the background.
Yeah, there seems to be a discussion as to which free throw was for the actual foul and which one was the technical. And I'm not sure how it works myself.
It would seem academic because they're going to get the ball out of bounds anyway. But Steve's pretty sure of himself.
The officials are having a conference. They've sent the players to the benches, and they are having a conference. Well, to determine whether
they have one more free throw coming, and Mime was up there and he made the first one, and that was his seventh straight without a miss. Earlier in the season was hitting 81%, and the official coming over.
The officials are confirming that Coach Ball was correct, and I guess it does make a difference because the player missed the first free throw he took, so it may have had an impact whether that was the actual live free throw or the technical free throw that he was shooting.
Well, I thought it would get the ball out of bounds after a technical anyway.
Right.
So I don't know what the conjecture.
But I mean, if he missed the first one, maybe he wasn't entitled to shoot.
Oh, I see. On the 1-1. That's right. That was the eighth team foul, so it would have been the 1-1.
They're right. They're not in the double bonus. But it looks like the scoreboard is right. They're not changing it, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have, that was the front end of a 1-1, and that one was good by Double Chan. So that will negate that one that was missed. So that will go as the eighth point for him. And he made both of them. So they still haven't missed a free throw.
So the one that was missed did not count.
Did not count.
Wow.
Well, I don't know. Now Napa gets the ball out. I thought after the technical that they would also get the Falcons the ball. Over to the side, a three is up and good by Saltzman. Boy, that was a big shot for Saltzman as Napa needed that to get back in the lead as far as a 14-point ball with 4 minutes to go now. There's a three-point attempt from the left corner, and that is good. That was by Andrew Mime, and that is his first basket as far as a field goal after seven free throws. So he's in double figures. There is a three up, no good by Mills. Rebounded, though, by Napa as Joe Fonts out of Calistoga got the rebound. 3.5 minutes to go. Adolfo in the lane. Kicks it over to Mills. He will fire. He hits a three. Mills, pretty consistent player. He has 10 points, has made three three-point baskets, and it's 62-48. Thought it was nice that Steve Ball did go over and say he was sorry to the officials, call him on that, but he was concerned. There is a three-point attempt up, no good. Rebound is cleared out by Adolfo. So with a 14-point lead, Napa the ball, and inside of 3 minutes to go here in the second half. Napa spreading the offense because the Falcons like to double-team. Driving in, going up, missing the shot, tip, no good. Rebound batted out. Mills gets it for Napa. Behind the back dribbles, he goes into the lane, kicks a pass over to the right side. Driving in Adolfo, missed the shot, scramble for the rebound, taken out of there by Thomas. Thomas looks down court, will bring it on the dribble into the forecourt, gets it over to Mime, who sees a little daylight, drives in, goes up, shoots, missed, fouled, and will shoot two. The foul on Johnson, Calvin Johnson, charged for the foul. Mime has made seven straight at the foul line. He made that three-pointer earlier in the three-point basket. So officially, they have not missed a free throw, and they still have not. As the earlier free throws that were missed, it missed one and made one, was negated. And maybe we can get a ruling after the game here. The free throw is good. Boy, I tell you, Mime has really been good at the free throw line. 9 out of 9 there. And it's only a 12-point lead. I say only because for out much of the contest, it was a 20-point margin. Well, timeout, so we'll be back in a moment with 2:20 to go in the second half. It is Napa Valley College 62 and Solano College 50. Okay, back here at Napa Valley College, the Storm in their last game scored 68 points. They have 62 right now, but they gave up 100. And right now they have given up just half of that total.
Yeah, and when we do the end of the game stats, particularly the rebounding, you're going to see why that is.
Did you check any other thing as far as the free throw situation?
Well, there's, we're not sure. I was talking, we don't know if that missed free throw counts or not. It shouldn't, since he made four.
Well, we'll find out what the situation is at the end of the game as Mills drives in for Napa, feeds underneath to Johnson. He lays it in and is fouled on the play and one. Calvin Johnson, the double, or got a dozen now, was fouled on the play by Tucker. That's only the third team foul, I think, here on the college in the second half. But Johnson tries to make it a three-point play as he's at the line. And he scores the free throw, and that's the first free throw attempted in the second half by Napa. They had not attempted a free throw in the second. There's a long three. Kaboom, got it. As Leon Williams wasted no time in getting set and firing that three. As soon as they got in the three-point area, Napa leading by 11, but they have the ball. A minute 45 to go here in the second half. Playing it close to the vest now as they get underneath the Fonz. Lays it in. Nice move there by Joe Fonz. coming from the weak side, getting a pass and drifting into the lane. Ball is tipped away, and it's retrieved by the Falcons. Williams fires a three, got it again. Wow, Leon Williams has hit three of those. And Napa's lead is still double digits, but it's 11. And there is a foul. That's only the fourth team foul as Williams is called for the foul. Leon Williams, the sophomore out of Vanden High School, played for the Vikes. Got Turner, who has been in some tonight, out of L.A. That's the one that's most distance away. Napa with the ball, driving in, missing the shot. Was Hampton. Rebound come down. There's a three-point attempt this time by Williams. Is no good. He goes for the rebound and I think commits a foul. That'll only be the fifth team foul, so not yet into the bonus situation. They still have two fouls to give, or one more foul to give now. Napa with the ball as he get the ball into the forecourt. A lob pass underneath, and Fons couldn't get to it, and it goes out of bounds. So it will be Solano in the backcourt as we've reached the final minute now here in the second half. 67-56, driving in, missing the shot, but getting fouled on the play was Rashad Tucker. Foul on Armani Mills. That's his fourth, I have.
For a second there, I thought they were calling goaltending on the shot, but they did not.
Yeah. Get a chance to get into single digits if he can make both of them. Tucker scoring tonight has just been 2-for-2 at the free throw line. He's 3-for-3. And we'll have to find out officially. Even if they count that one as a miss.
It's still a remarkable night.
It's amazing.
Free throw shooting.
It is. He's made 3-for-3. Meme has made 9-for-9. Here's the free throw. And that one rolled out. So there is one miss, and that's an official miss. And then a foul right afterward called in the Falcons. Now they will be putting Napa at the free throw line on the next common foul, as that was the sixth team foul. Inbounds pass to Mills. The full court zone press is applied to Napa Valley College. They break the press, get into the forecourt, and immediately Hampton is fouled then by Mime. So it will be free throws coming for Hampton. Let's check, see what Hampton has done this season at that 15-foot stripe.
I don't have Hampton on my roster.
You don't have number three for Napa?
She shot 76%.
76.
Wow. Terrific free throw shooting for all of these guys.
Hampton at the free throw line for the first time tonight, and he scores the free throw. He'll get the bonus. He's a 5'11 sophomore out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. Getting back to the line, bouncing the ball, eyeing the basket. Shooting the free throw and missing it, but the rebound is out of bounds off of Solano. Napa gets a break there. Napa has only attempted three free throws in the second half. They've made two of them. Inbounds pass comes way out to Deer. Deer is double teamed and fouled. This foul goes on double Jen. That's his fourth, I think. It is. So it will be still the 1-1 for Deer. And let's take a look at his. He's been held to one field goal.
63%.
And the free throw is good. So Akeem Deer out of Brooklyn, New York. Both he and Calvin Johnson come to Napa from Brooklyn. Free throw is no good. He split free throws. And rebound comes out now. Solano, a pull-up jump shot is good. That was a three, I think, by Double Chan. And Napa gets the ball back, leading it by 9 now. They got it down to single digits, and as soon as Napa gets the ball, there is a foul. This is still the 1-1 bonus. They still have to make the first to get the bonus shot. So on this foul, and if there's another one, but nice comeback by Solano, maybe a bit late. Mills at the free throw line scored.
Mills is shooting 75%.
That's pretty good, too. And he makes both of them, so Amani hits his 11th and 12th points from the free throw line. Quick transition down the other end. It's no good. Rebound taken by Napa, and they can run out the clock now. So they will hold on for a victory as they had two guys down the court but elected not to pass, not to shoot, and that will be the ball game. So Napa Valley College maintains the second place in the league. Of course, they were two games ahead. They were still going to be in second place even if they lost, but they do win the game. And we'll check with the official score on that one free throw, but it's not nearly as important now because Tucker did miss one that was right there toward the end of the game. But some interesting statistics coming your way as we will wrap it up in a moment. We'll be back with that wrap-up final score. Napa 71, Solano 60. Well, it's Coaches versus Cancer Night that will continue. There is women's basketball coming up. We will not be broadcasting that contest, but we will have our wrap-up now on KVON 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country, at streaming on the internet at KVON.com and archived, as well as engineer Charles Kennedy handles that duty and does a great job. So we appreciate it that you can go to check out not only the past basketball broadcast season, but also the past fall football season. Well, Jake Grant went over to check with the official scores table. Let's find out what he found out.
Solano only missed two of their 15.
That was for the second half. For the game, they missed only two out of 23.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the final statistics there, Dino.
So for Solano, they did a lot better shooting in the second half, especially on the threes. They were 9 out of 17 on three-pointers in the second half. They ended up 10 out of 26 for the game from three-point range. Overall, 15 out of 54, plus the 21 free throws. For the Napa Storm, they shot 15 out of 33 in that second half, so almost 50%. They ended up 29 out of 74, 5 for 21 from three-point range, 8 out of 12 from the free throw line for their 71 points. So Napa made 14 more baskets than Solano did, but because Solano made so many free throws and three-pointers, the final score wasn't a huge differential. Turnovers, Solano 15, Napa 15. Assists, Solano had 11 assists on their 15 made baskets. That's a good total. Napa had 19 assists on their 29 made baskets, and that's a good total. Napa blocked 5 of Solano's shots. Solano blocked 1 of Napa's shots. But here was what I think is the key statistic of the game. The rebounding for the two teams. For the Solano College Falcons, they ended up the game with 20 rebounds to 45 for Napa. 45 to 20 rebounding edge, and a gap of 25, which helps explain why Napa was able to get off 20 more shots than Solano did.
Some very significant totals there as far as the game tonight. I was particularly impressed with Solano College's free throw accuracy. And in that second half, the three-point accuracy that they had. Here's the way their scoring came out unofficially. Rajon Washington had 8 points. all of those in the second half. He had 2 3-pointers in there and 2 free throws. And Isaiah Dupple Jan had 12 points. He had 2 for 2 at the foul line. And, well, he had 4 for 4 and wound up with 12 points. Leon Williams, who made those threes toward the end of the game, wound up with 11 points, including his 3 3-pointers. Rashad Tucker was 3 out of 4 at the free throw line for 3 points. Andrew Mime hit on 12 points, including a 3-point field goal, and then 9 out of 9 at the free throw line. Sterling Thomas had 12 points. So they had 1, 2, 3, 4 guys in double figures. Thomas was 2 for 2 at the foul line and had 2 3-point baskets. And Trayvon Ross, who started the game, had an early field goal, and that was it. He scored just 2 points. Didn't play a whole lot later in the game. Brandon Durf, who did play some, did not score in the ball game, and that pretty well wrapped up the 60-point total. Napa Valley College was led in scoring by Calvin Johnson and Macho Adapo. Adapo scored 13 points in the first half, none in the second half. Johnson scored 13 points, with 9 of those coming in the second half. And Adolfo went to the free throw line one time and made that. And Johnson went to the free throw line twice, made 1 out of 2. Well, before we finish up the scoring, let's just call Steve over and perhaps he can clarify what all was going on that free throw shootings and the technical.
Yeah, on that one, so the high school rule is it's more punitive for technical fouls. So the high school rule, they don't go point of interruption. They go whatever was happening in order that it happened. So the 1-1 would be taken, and then the free throw would be taken for the technicals, and then it would be their ball. So in college, we call what we have is what's called point of interruption. So there's a technical foul in college is its own entity. It happened, you go shoot the free throws, and then as if it never happened, whatever was about to happen still happens. It's like you put the game on pause, go shoot your technical free throws, and then come back.
Okay, well, I noticed that the officials appreciated your clarification and that you did say you were sorry that you had to call that to their attention.
Yeah, I hope they appreciated it. I don't know that they appreciate me much tonight, but oh well, I'm a jerk.
Well, I thought it was interesting that you had 3 officials work the men's game, and you have 3 different officials then work the women's game.
Yeah, it's a different associations, actually, and it's a different game. They play quarters, we play halves. They have a different charge circle than we do. There's some intricacies, and I'm sure there are some people that do it, but I have some friends that are officials, and they just hate doing back-to-back college games because it's just the pace of the play is just so much faster than high school, and it's 40 minutes and then 80 minutes if you do back-to-backs. And they do it in the preseason sometimes, but I don't think they really like it. So they do it for a couple reasons. Different game, and also it's just a long night for someone's legs.
We were talking to Carson at halftime about the superb defense that your team had. Really strong the first half, let up a little bit then the second half, though.
As we kind of talked about just now, I believe we gave up 43 points in the second half, and that can't stand alone. That's got to be, you know, it's got to be looked at in an entirety of the game. Not that we held them to, I believe, 60, but that 43 of them were in the second half. And that's a trend that we can't have going into Friday because we're playing against the number 1 team in our conference. Lost to them in overtime here. You have a couple minutes where you let up defensively like we did tonight, and you don't come away with a win. You lose an overtime game instead.
What good free throw shooting, though, tonight?
I think they only missed 1, and it was very late, right? They missed 2. Okay, yeah, they were. They shot the heck out of the ball. Did we shoot the ball exceptionally? I don't think we didn't get many in the second half.
We
were 8 out of 12. Yeah,
so not
okay.
Bad.
And we didn't get many till they had to foul on purpose. They had at the 14-minute mark, they had 1 foul. So they must be a great defensive team if they're able to do that.
And coach, you had a by my count, you had a team rebounding edge of 45 to 20 for the game. So you got to be happy about that.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing we talked about, to be honest with you. We said, we always want to give maximum effort on the offensive glass and maximum effort defensively. After that, let the chips fall where they may. But if we bring that every single night, and it helps when you've got a point guard who can put his elbow inside the rim, and you got a 6'10 Division One guy, and you got a maximum effort 6'7 guy, and you got a bunch of other guys that can, that are aggressive. So I think on the season we're averaging a plus 12 to plus 15 on the offensive, on the glass.
What about your 3-point shooting tonight? How does that compare with your season?
I think it was pretty much on par. I mean, Armani hit some early, then he took a couple deeper ones and didn't make those. And Tommy shot well in the second half. He always, for some reason, always shoots really well right in front of our bench. So maybe we should just sit him for the first half and bring him in out of the bullpen and let him pull some shots in the second half. He shoots much better that way. We're trying to get him to monitor his anxiety levels again, I guess, his arousal levels, so that he can focus with that same calmness in the first half as he does the second.
We'd like to also commend you and Napa Valley College for acknowledging cancer, the American Cancer Society, with this Coaches versus Cancer Night. And I guess since it's the coaches aspect, that most of that goes your way.
Yeah, most of it goes to a check and from the Coaches Association that we hand to cancer research at the end of the year. It's a great cause, and it's been going around for decades. I know Jimmy V lost his battle and brought a lot of attention to it, and that's what it's all about, is the attention that it draws, and hopefully people not only tonight but go online and invest in the future of cancer research.
How can they do that?
That is a good question. We go with the American Cancer Society. Their website is the best way to reach out that way, to make sure that it's going directly to those funds.
We'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday night. We'll be back here for your home finale, but we hope that there's more basketball after your game the following Friday.
Yeah, we'll call it our home regular season finale, because hopefully we get a playoff game maybe here on the following Wednesday or the following Saturday.
Well, that would be great.
It would be exciting. I'm sure the community would love it.
Well, Steve, 13 years you've been at it, and this is one of your best.
It's definitely one of our best groups that we've had, and top to bottom, and they've invested a lot, and I'm proud of them.
Okay. Thanks for coming by, and good luck to you on Friday night.
Great. Thank you, Ira.
All right, that was the head coach for Napa Valley College Storm, Steve Ball, and they now are 14-10 overall and 10-4 in the league. Whereas Solano drops to 8-16 overall and 3-10 in the league. And let's take a look at the other scoring that we started to give to you for Napa Valley College. We had mentioned about Adolfo and Johnson each with 13 points. Then Armani Mills had 12 points. He did hit three three-pointers and was 2 out of 3 at the foul line. Sasha French had 4 field goals for 8 points. Tom Salzman had 2 field goals, both of them 3-pointers, and 1 out of 2 at the foul line for 7 points. James Ned, nice job off the bench, contributed with some rebounding, and had 3 field goals for 6 points. Joe Fonts had a pair of field goals for 4 points. And Malcolm Bracey had a field goal for 2. Jaden Hampton had a 3-point play the old-fashioned way, a field goal, then a free throw for 3 points. And Akeem Deer had a field goal, 1 out of 2 at the foul line for 3 points in the game. Napa led 33-17 at halftime and led much of the second half by 20 until the Falcons really started pressing.
Yeah, it was a great job by Napa. I mean, the rebounding, that was very impressive when Coach Ball said that they've been averaging out-rebounding the other team by 12 or to 15 a game. So maybe the plus 25 tonight wasn't as remarkable as I thought it was. I was impressed.
Okay, well, let's go to Jake Grant and find out his player of the game.
It's a tough one. I mean, you could go with Dopo or Johnson, who both scored relatively high, or you could pick somebody like Sasha French, who, I mean, we don't have his exact numbers rebounding or assist-wise, but, I mean, you could tell when he was out there because, you know, three guys were on him at any given time, and he was still scoring and passing it well and rebounding the ball. I mean, I'm pretty sure he got, like, six rebounds on one layup.
Dino.
I would go with Sasha French. I thought that he played a terrific game defensively, and I noticed there were times when it seemed like the focus of the defense was just to funnel the man with the ball towards Sasha, and there were at least three occasions where I noticed a Solano player dribbling in towards Sasha and then thinking, I better pass this ball off to the corner because there was no way they were going to score over the big guy.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with his replacement coming off the bench and doing a good job on the defense, doing a good job rebounding, and making his presence known on the offense as well. I thought James Nett played a really good game. Didn't get up there as far as the statistics, but was much of a factor there on the first half with his defense when Sasha French got in early foul trouble, had to come out, and James Nett came in a little earlier than usual.
That's a good point. Sasha picked up two fouls early. They got him out of there for a while. Ned did a great job there, like a great two-headed monster at the center position between the two of them. Defensively, and you know, they pick each other up, and it was awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much our story. Unless Dino, you have anything, any special stat that you want to wrap up with?
Well, I thought the rebound was a special stat, but Coach seemed to think that was all that was old hat. I was impressed though with the fact that in the second half, Solano, you know, they only made 1 out of 9 from 3-point range in that first half, but they were a blistering 9 out of 17 from 3-point range in the second half.
Better than 50%.
Yeah, and made it a pretty competitive game in the last few minutes.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And what about a final comment from Jake Grant?
I mean, it's interesting, actually. I'm not going to speculate, but it looks like we might be seeing some Sasha French in the WCC soon. Looks like there might be a scout from University of Portland over there. He just went and talked to him and is walking out of the gym.
Well, let's get Moraga over here and get somebody from St. Mary's to talk to him, too. I remember Napa High had a player named Brent Ferris that was pretty good at Napa High, and he went to play basketball at St. Mary's, and it was kind of nice to have a chance to go over there to watch Brent continue his basketball. So it'd be good to get some others from around our area over there instead of everybody from Australia.
Yeah, what's it called, Vegemite? That goes out of stock in Moraga's grocery stores relatively quickly when new recruits roll into town.
Actually, I know some Australian people, and they say they can't stand Vegemite. That's why they make it in such little jars. I don't know if you've ever seen a jar of it. It only holds about 2 ounces because it's fermented yeast. It's not tasty.
Well, next Wednesday night, we'll be back here as Napa Valley College takes on Contra Costa. That'll be a very important contest. And, of course, tomorrow night we have a basketball doubleheader, if my voice holds out, as we've got Napa and Vintage, the boys' big game. 5:15 again will be airtime for the boys JV, and then at about 7 o'clock at night will be our varsity coverage, and then the same thing on Friday night for the girls. Tomorrow night it's over at Vintage High, and Friday night for the girls it's over at Napa High. And our thanks to Charles Kennedy, our engineer, for the job he does and for his setting up the opportunity for you to hear previous games, too, that are archived there at KVON.com. Dino Alessio with the statistics, Jake Grant with his comments, and it's all sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. I'm Ira C. Smith reminding you our final tonight. Napa Valley College Storm 71 and Solano College Falcons out of Sassoon 60.
This has been a KVON Sports presentation.